Hello and welcome everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Today I'm excited to welcome one of our franchise partners of Maple Grove, Minnesota, Tina Hegna. She is the one that juggles so much in so many different roles. So we're going to talk a lot about what that looks like. But she's a mom to three boys, a Burn owner, and works in the finance industry. She recently signed for another gym and is trying to figure out the tough balance of family, full-time job, being a wife, and being a business owner, all while reminding herself that she does not need to be perfect. So welcome to the podcast, Tina.
Thanks, Morgan. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, your story, what you do. And, you know, we talked a little bit about you have a full-time job and you're a Burn owner. So I would just love to hear a little bit about your story.
Yeah, well, my husband and I are both Minnesota born and raised. We started our careers in Colorado and California. And we moved back to Minnesota because we had kids, and kids are hard, especially when they're premature twins. When we're not bleeding blue for Burn, we cheer for Minnesota Vikings, and we're just kind of juggling it all, but we love all of the things, and so we just find a way to make it work. Like you said, we've got the one open gym and now another one on the way that we're excited for this winter. And I still enjoy my career, and Harlan has his career too, and like I said, we love those things too, but now we are at that crossroads of how are we really going to make this work when you only have 24 hours in a day?
Yes, I feel you on that, especially with three kids. And remind me the ages of your kids.
So our twins are six. They just started kindergarten, and their favorite part is riding the bus. And then our youngest is two, and he was actually born 2 weeks after the Maple Grove gym opened.
Mm-hmm. So I remember you were in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I can vividly remember that picture of you like in the hospital, right? You had just opened a gym and you're doing business from, you know, the hospital basically.
And you had to. I wouldn't say that's necessarily a best practice, but it was sort of like having twins again. You know, I kind of knew how to do that with having the twins before. Now we have a baby human and a baby gym, and you just have to take care of both.
Yeah. So let's start with the fact that you and your husband are, you know, owning this business together, running this business together, also while having, you know, separate jobs, separate passions, but you guys come together and do this, you know, together. So talk to us a little bit about what that journey's been like and how do you balance things and make sure that you guys, you know, that it doesn't create tension and it, you know, is something that's a beautiful, you know, connection, I guess, for your family.
Yeah. Well, Burn was my idea, not my idea for creation, but, you know, to get into the ownership side of it. I was the member first and I came to him with, I have this idea. And the more we kind of did our due diligence of the company with, you know, the values and its vision and it aligned with ours, it wasn't too hard to know that this is something that we wanted to do. But still, it was kind of my baby and my passion. So he always says, and so I feel comfortable saying, you know, I'm Batman and he's Robin. And we're really comfortable in those roles. And we are successful when we know our lanes. You know, this is my area. This is your area. And so it works out really well then. Sometimes there's crossover because he's an idea generator as well. He's usually much more creative than I am even. But it's just kind of that respect of, you know, this is my space, this is your space. So that's how it works really well. And that's how it works at home as well. There are just some things that he is far better at. I mean, he's the fun parent. And, you know, I care about, like, did we read enough books today? Yeah. But we call him the toy master, and he is just a kid with the little ones.
Yeah.
But even the housework too, you know, we each have our strengths of what he should do and what I should do. So that's the only way we've made it work so far.
Yeah. I think it's just, you got to realize you're a team. And I think, you know, Devin and I, we really like grabbed onto that when number three was born because you're outnumbered and, you know, like there's just so many things going on. And even though maybe I took more of the, of the role of like, you know, things around the house and parenting and getting the kids to school and making sure all of it's running smoothly. When number three came around, he was like, okay, like I need to help. We need to be more of a team. So like we tackle bedtime together now. Like I'm like, I can't put three kids to bed at the same time. Like you're gonna help me when you're here. But I think it's like, you know, you gotta kind of learn through that and like what works for each couple and different, you know, things and activities in your life are gonna kind of make you come back together and say, like, all right, what's gonna work for us right now? If it's a kid, if it's another business, if it's, you know, whatever it is. So, is there something that you learned from opening one location that you're gonna apply to this next location that's coming online soon?
Yeah, a few things. And I think especially going through COVID with the first one, you were forced to learn a lot of things that maybe you didn't think you would have to know how to do. But I would say, you know, that aside, I think just knowing my worth and knowing, you know, what the value in what we're offering really is and having the confidence in that out of the gate. I think in the beginning, we were just praying that people show up. And so now that we kind of have that confidence and like, yes, we not only do we offer this great experience, but we're good at what we're doing, and that's why we're doing it again. And then sort of with that, just from the business side, just comfortable pivoting and making decisions and having the confidence that we can figure it out as we go. I think the perfectionist in me wants to have a plan, and then you just follow the plan because that's the plan that we designed, but that's not real life.
No, it's not. And I think we all learned that a lot this past year and a half, right? That like no matter what plan we have, we have to be ready for it to change.
Yes.
So you mentioned perfectionism. So is that something that you're constantly, you know, battling? I think as you know, have your hand in so many things, like if your personality is that you want it to be done a certain way, you know, to your expectation, and there's nothing wrong with that, but have you had to learn maybe that there's going to be times where perfection isn't realistic, and like how have you had to like kind of get that together mentally to make sure it doesn't impact, you know, the people around you?
I think the first thing that I realized was actually just awareness of what this perfectionism really is and what it's doing. So, after my third child was born, and then we had the open gym, it sort of first came to the surface when I was thinking, well, how am I going to get all of this done? So, I sort of, over the last several years, have been thinking about, okay, what's the best way to organize my day and structure my day so I can get the most done and get it all done? And what I was discovering was because I wanted things done a certain way, or I wanted everything to be perfect. And I'm not like a Pinterest mom perfect type of person. I don't hold myself, you know, to that level. But once I set my mind to a certain way and I call that perfect, I want to get there. You know, if I already had the vision for what that is, I just have something naturally that I want to do just that. And so my fear in that sometimes is that the world won't know just how much I can do or really what my best effort is or what my best product could have been. And so I just hustle until I get there. So now what I'm realizing is that I'm getting in my own way of the other problem that I have before me is you're just not going to be able to be perfect in all the things if you're going to want to do all of the things. So awareness was definitely the first part of it. And now it's figuring out how do I manage it.
And you know what? Like, I've actually feel like I've battled that probably more in the last couple months than I ever have in my whole life because like my son is getting older, right? So Ryan's getting older and there's just been so much changes like in our office, right? And just like things are changing and I've never felt so almost like I've never felt so unhappy with like all the things that are happening in my life that I'm like not delivering, right? And so like I'm not unhappy. Like I don't want to I definitely don't want to say that, but I feel like, oh my God, I'm failing as a mom. Like I'm failing as a leader. I'm failing as, you know, a wife. Like, you know what I mean? And so it's like I have high expectations for myself. And like you said, you want to show the world what you're capable of and how good you're doing. But sometimes there's just so much going on and you have to take a step back and be like, okay, am I giving myself grace? Right? Like, what is truly going on around me? What's in my control? And what can I, you know, what can I kind of be okay with if it's not perfect? Does that make sense?
100%. And I think if it aligns with, if you can take that step back and make sure, what am I choosing to prioritize, or what am I choosing to do what I think is perfect, or what I'm trying to call now just excellent work? Maybe it's not perfect, but I think, the better way to think about it is excellent work. And am I choosing to pour myself into the things that matter the most and matter the most for that day or for that time or that chapter? It's kind of a balance. Sometimes family wins. Family is what is the most important thing, and the rest is going to be fine, and you can be okay with that. But I feel like what has really helped me is just reflecting on what is really important to me. What brings me joy, what makes me happy, and what can I be most proud of and pour into that.
No, you're so right. And I think probably the trickiest thing is that we care so much. I care so much about my family. Obviously, that is my first priority, but I also care so much about Burn and my business and my career and how I show up like in that space. And so it's almost like sometimes they do rival each other. Like, I'll be honest, like I care very much about what I'm building in my career and who I am as that Morgan Klein. And it's not just family, but I think my reality check has to always be like, if it's carrying over into that family life, like that's where I have to like really get it together. You know, if I am unhappy in that family setting and it's care like my stress is carrying over, that's where I have to really just be like, listen, Morgan, what is the priority? And am I caring too much about the right things? Or am I overthinking some of the wrong things, you know?
Exactly. And then when one of those roles is being a parent at the same time, when you're at work, like when you're work Morgan, you're leading a team and you have this vision and values, and that's kind of a thing. But when you're at home, you're still kind of leading a team. You're leading with Devin, and your kids are looking up to you and learning from you. And so part of my awareness of this perfectionism is, oh my gosh, like I don't want my kids to get it. Like, is this contagious? Are they gonna have it too? And how do I teach them how to navigate without striving for perfection and just knowing what that excellence is?
So good. So, Tina, what motivates you each day? You know, you've got a lot on your to-do list, like we're talking about, and I'm sure you can get bogged down, you can get overwhelmed, but what is it that just motivates you to get out of bed every morning and do it all?
I am seriously motivated to get better every day, and I want to learn and grow. I think I've committed myself to knowing I'm going to be a student for life. I always want to see how much I can handle, how much more I can learn, how much more I can achieve. And really, I want to make an impact, whether that's on, my family, my community, on the world. And so just that fire burning inside me really does keep me going. It's what's kept me going through COVID, when it was a very uncertain time and a very challenging time. I still felt really good about what I was doing.
And so, you know, what you said you want to be a student for life. I'd love to know, like, what is it that does help you become a better leader? And, you know, is there any specific podcasts or books or strategies or anything that you would, you know, recommend to me, the audience listening, that does help you become a better leader?
One of the things that I got over and started to get comfortable with, which is so simple, but it was mind-blowing how good it felt, was just to be vulnerable and share my story with other people and just start opening up and being comfortable with being uncomfortable during that time, to almost share my weakness, which is what I've been trying to hide my whole life by being perfect. Like, I'm strong, I don't have weaknesses. That's not true. And then again, as I was becoming more and more aware of these things, I've been a fan of Brené Brown for quite some time, mostly podcasts and different things that she did. But I started going back to the beginning of her books, and I read The Gifts of Imperfection this past spring. I actually listened to it while I was training for a half marathon. It got me through that quite a bit. I read a couple of her books, but she made a lot of really great points that were just aha moments for me that have helped me, again, just dig deeper into why I'm wired the way I am. And so that's been really helpful from that awareness point. I haven't gotten to the point of, now I have all the answers and this is how I'm cured. And I don't know that that's even realistic, but I have talked to other people about that book. And then there's another, I can't remember if it's that book or another one. She talks about the definition of midlife. And I'm totally going to butcher this, but it's something like midlife is when you realize some of the traits that you carry, or these tendencies that you carry, or these habits that you carry no longer serve you anymore. And so just stop it. And that's been an awakening for me, because that's how I feel too. Like, I want to stop doing these things that are just getting in my own way and be the person that I want to be. So that book has been really helpful. And then, like I said, just talking to other people, opening up and hearing from other people. I mean, your podcast, Morgan, too. I listen to almost every episode pretty fresh when it rolls out, and I just love to hear from other people and to know that maybe I'm on the extreme end, but I'm not the only one that has these thoughts. I've had other friends come back to me and say, "You were right. Like, I'm a perfectionist too," or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's it's and it boils down to vulnerability, like you said. And that's something I challenged myself when I started this podcast, is be you, be real. Don't talk about things that don't, light a fire in you, and don't talk about things that, you don't feel like you can even relate to. And I think it's finding those people, right, that are sharing the real, the raw, the good, the bad, and just knowing you're not alone is super, super helpful. So, gosh, I think you probably have learned tons of lessons just in the last 18 months, but running your own business, what would you say one of the hardest lessons, and maybe most constructive lesson that you're able to, like, it was hard when you went through it, but now you're able to look back at that and be like, I'm so glad that happened to me.
I would boil this down to the value of feedback, and not just a suggestion box or like an anonymous form that people can submit or, kind of hide behind, but that hard, uncomfortable, direct feedback that you have to give to someone else that's in your life or a part of your team or something. And this is still hard for me today, but I'm growing in my confidence to deliver it, because I know it gets better on the other side of that discomfort. And someone once told me that by me avoiding it or shouldering the challenge or the difficulty of that situation, and just telling myself it's okay, and what can I do differently to make this situation better, I'm actually taking away that other person's opportunity to learn and grow through that as well. So when they told me that, that was, a very strong awakening, because I didn't even think that that's what I was doing. I was trying to be the good leader that just, carries the weight and leads from the front and all that kind of stuff, without even thinking that that feedback is to benefit them. It's a gift to them that they can learn and grow too.
It's so true. And feedback's hard. I mean, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. You don't know how they're going to react. Some people will, it will defeat them. Some people, they'll build this wall. I think the best gift you can give yourself and to give to others is to give and receive feedback, because, and we've started that, right? Like, we introduced the feedback loop this past summit, and we encourage like our employees to use it here. Like, it's not just like this trainer thing. It's like, I even do it to my kids now. Like, I mean, I'm finding myself asking my kids, is that fair? Like, and what are you going to do differently next time? And so for those of you that are listening, we kind of introduced this whole methodology of this feedback loop. And so, you're first inviting, or you're asking somebody how they think something went, right? You're getting their perspective. Then you're asking, can I give you feedback, right? Because I think too often that's where we miss in trying to give and receive feedback, is we don't ask. We don't get the permission to give it. And so you never know what kind of day somebody is having. So if you just go up to them and be like, hey, I think you could have done really better in that speech, da 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 da, and you just start unloading on them on like the feedback, that's where it's not constructive, because they haven't invited you in to say like, yeah, I want to know, like, how can I get better? Because you just never know what kind of day that person's having. Like, maybe they're just not ready to hear that feedback. And then you give the feedback, you ask if it's fair, and you say, hey, what are you going to do differently next time? And it's just that cycle of how can we always take something and get better and get better and get better? Because the minute we think we're good at something and that we have no opportunity to get better or grow, is the minute you will start dying in your career, in your business, in your relationships. Like the minute you think you've reached like where you need to be, you're wrong. We can always get better. We can always learn more. We can always grow. So anyways, I know I just talked a lot there, but I love that advice because I just think there's so much opportunity in the workplace, in relationships, in everything for us to communicate better and give and receive feedback and be open to it. People are just so sometimes hard-willed, right? And they close off to anyone coming. It's like an ego thing, I think, you know? It's like, it's almost like they feel like if they get negative feedback, it's like a direct reflection of who they are as a human being. And that's not the case. It's just how can we get better in the setting that we're in and the job and the tasks that you're doing?
Yes. And it helps so much. I mean, even now when I hire people, that's something that we talk about in the recruiting process. That's an important part of how we work. You know, it's one of our company, like my organization's values to always want to do better every day and to continually grow. And so how do we do that? The feedback loop that came out, and it's so simple, you know, it's not like, you know, a book that you have to read first. In fact, you know, we got extra stickers to give to all the teams so we could have that graphic. But it also helps to have people speaking the same language. And it's not like some hidden script or hidden agenda that only, you know, we as the leaders have. I mean, we're rolling it out so the whole team can give it up and down and across. Yeah. And we all know the backbone of why we're doing it. And it's only to help point out how we can do better as a team. You know, one team, one dream. And that is, it's been instrumental and it's only been a few months. So we're pretty excited about it.
Awesome. All right. So a couple more questions here before we do wrap up. But with balancing so many different jobs, how do you have like a daily process or do you have any tips of like how you do actually get it all done in a day? Like, is it time blocking? Is it lists? Like what, how do you do it?
I have a few things and one of them is getting up early. And that was an adjustment years ago. And that was the best way for me to find time kind of before the rest of the world wakes up. So usually I'm going to the gym. I kind of wake up and I get out the door before my mind really even catches up that maybe it would rather sleep or something like that. But that just gets it done and out of the way and I don't have to think about it, even though, you know, obviously I enjoy it and everything while I'm there. But, you know, I like to sleep too. So the rest of it comes down to being planned and organized. So I've tried all different kinds of methods. And right now, honestly, I know there are so many great apps out there, but I still love pen and paper, writing out my to-do list. I think one of your past podcasts, you talked about how you get organized for the week. And it's very similar to what I do as well. So I kind of start with a list of all of the things. And so it might take several pages and I kind of compartmentalize, okay, what is happening in my personal life? What is happening, you know, with my career, like finance job? And then at Burn, like what am I doing as team doing? And so it's kind of a universal picture of all the things. And then each week, like usually on Sunday, I put the things into that week that I'm going to do, you know, what has to get done, what's realistic to get done. And then the favorite thing that I like to do, I love trees, but I'm sorry, I do waste paper, but every day I start a fresh sheet of paper and I write down like, what are the top five, like kind of in each of my areas that I need to get done that day. I call it my can't go to sleep until these are done sorts of things. And that's the best way that I kind of keep my sights on, okay, I know I have this whole like universe of all the things I need to do, but I'm just going to put blinders on right now because I've already planned and organized so much to know that these are the things I need to be focused and worried about. And some days it's, you know, really important that I get these five family things done. And then I don't actually get to work on any important Burn stuff that day, but that's okay because that's just how
you have a plan to do it tomorrow or, you know, something like that. Cause I think if you don't have that plan to like when you're going to work on it, that's where the stress comes in.
Yes.
You know, like if you don't have that, almost like that week plan of the time blocking.
Well, and the funny thing too, I don't know how much time you spend doing this, Morgan, but sometimes planning out my week, it's not just like a 10-minute task, you know, where you just jot everything out really fast. Like you really have to internalize and think about and, you know, look at the calendar and everything too, where it can take I don't know if I'm embarrassed to say, but it can take me a couple hours sometimes just to get my life organized for the week.
Because it's not just looking at my calendar, it's then it's building my nanny's schedule and it's understanding like what time I need to get out of the house and what time I need to leave work, and then do I have any meetings that overlap? You know, it's just it's not just as easy as looking and writing something down. It's truly thinking about, okay, what do I have going on this week? What do I need to prepare for to make sure all of this runs smoothly? But it's the best thing to do. Otherwise, I can't imagine how my mornings would go. I just can't even imagine how my days would go. I don't envy the people, although I'm sometimes envious of like the people that can just like wake up and be like, oh, what's on my calendar today? You know, I'm just like,
I think about that all the time. Like, how does that work?
In another world, maybe. Okay. All right. So you have three kids. Obviously, we've talked about this, but what's one lesson that you hope that your children learn from you and your story and the hard work that you put off in the world?
I think they definitely see hard work right in front of them, and it's connecting, you know, what all of that means. You know, one of my sons drew a picture, and they draw all the time, and they'll draw fire trucks and police cars and pictures of the family and Minnesota Viking stuff and all that kind of thing. My son drew a picture of me and a computer, and he says, you know, because you're always working with your computer, and it was like a dagger to the heart. Like, right. Is that really how you view this? And so what it is they're home more since COVID. I'm working from home more, so they just didn't realize that when they were off at school this whole time, this is what I do when they're at school.
Yeah.
So it's kind of opened the conversation about, this is what I'm doing, this is why I work so hard. You know, we start talking about money a little bit. Yeah. But I think the timing is actually, you can never do it too soon, really, once they start to kind of put some of these concepts together. But what I'm trying to do is connect the dots of, like, I'm working this hard because this is my passion and this is what I want to do. This is what makes me happy. And so sometimes you don't just take the easy path to get to that happiness or for that comfort. It's you have to not be afraid to work hard and do the grind, because at the end, it's going to make you happier. And basically, you can do whatever you want to do if you're willing to put in, you know, what it takes to get there.
Absolutely. And the best way to teach our kids that is to do it, right? And like, it's just to be the example. That's what I always tell myself, is like, I know that I have the hard work ethic and the qualities that I have because of what I witnessed in my mom, you know? And I don't remember what she missed, right? Like, I don't remember the time I spent away from her. I just remember the hard work she put in to make sure that my sister and I had, you know, the best opportunities and the best life that we had. And so it's always good to put yourself back in the shoes if that was your experience. Obviously, I know some parents or some people don't have that same childhood experience.
Right.
So then maybe that's what's motivating them, is maybe what they didn't experience and how they want it to be different for their kids. But I think when you can try to put yourself back in those shoes for a minute, it's helpful to understand what you're doing.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So what is something that you do to relax, if that's even a thing in your life, other than burn, right? So I know you like burn is that 45 minutes where you can have your time in the morning and release some of the stress and just do that for you. But anything else that you do that's just for Tina?
Yes, and I am so excited to share this. My friends laugh all the time, but they get it. I am really big into Hallmark movies, and not just Hallmark Christmas movies. They make them year round. And so I do set a recording, and I know it's silly. These are not Academy Award winning pictures, but it's really comforting. And the story is, you know, about saving the community center or something, you know, that's a nice change of stress level compared to my life.
Yes.
And, you know, it helps that there's usually chemistry and a love story, you know, all that kind of stuff that makes it really fun. So I was just telling Harlan I'm a few weeks behind on some of the newer movies, just because life has gotten a little extra busy with starting to get ready to open Blaine and that sort of thing. But usually I do try to watch one once a week. They're, you know, 2 hour TV time, but there's so many commercials. It's really like an hour and 20 minutes. So if I can just get that one chunk of time in each week, I just feel so much better.
And it just allows you to like forget about everything else that's going on and just like enjoy it, right?
Yes.
And that's funny. I like Lifetime movies. I will dabble in the Hallmark, but I like Lifetime, and it's funny because Devin will always be like, "Oh, wonder how this one ends," you know, because
Exactly.
they're clearly all like the same storylines. But he definitely like makes fun of me, but it's in good fun. But
Yeah, we actually have extra fun with it now. This will be my 3rd year. I host a Hallmark Christmas movie premiere, like
I love it.
kickoff party. And so I make a game out of it. I have a game board, and everyone like kind of sketches out or answers questions, like following what I call the Hallmark formula. And
Oh,
you
that's
don't win anything
awesome.
at the end. It's just for fun. But you know,
That's
it
so
started
cool.
as like a guilty pleasure, and now I just own it.
Yeah, I love that. You own it, girl. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for joining me today on the podcast. If our listeners want to come find you, if they're in the Minnesota area, what's the best way to reach you and get a hold of you?
I'm pretty active on social media, so my Instagram profile is just at Tina Hegna. You can also find me through the gym, so Maple Grove, Minnesota, and Blaine, Minnesota. Both of those pages are up now as well.
Awesome. All right. Well, we cannot wait to get your second gym open. I'm excited for you. Guys, if you're in the area, go check her out. You can also download the app, and that way you can always get the latest and greatest on the schedules, and directly reach out to the gym. So, again, thank you guys for listening today. Thanks, Tina, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To find a recap of today's show, be sure to check out the Burn Bootcamp blog. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells and follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store, and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.